Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 7 of the Pause.com Entertainment Podcast. We are your hosts,
Tony.
And I'm Lou. And thank you, as always, for tuning in and listening. How are you doing today, Tony?
I'm much better than I was last week.
Good, because last week you were sick.
Yes, but we did just come from lunch, and I had a very spicy pad thai.
So you're going to be coughing and crying a lot?
No, but...
I'm annoyed because the internet connection here at the office is from Comcast, which is usually very good, and it's down right now. And so we can't look up any of the stuff that we are ignorant about during the show.
So basically what you're saying is expect next week there to be a very long segment of what Tony got wrong.
Or something like that. I can't look up anything. There's some information that I need, and I can't get access.
Okay, that's what we're good at.
Fine. So when I start talking about tonight's American Idol contestants and its names of foreign dignitaries and, 12-string guitar players, then don't be surprised. So thank you again to the people who sent us email. Yvonne did not like that Beyonce was apparently lip-syncing during the Oscars, and I think pretty much everyone had that same sentiment. A friend of mine on her Facebook updates during the Oscars wrote that she thought Beyonce might be the devil. I thought that might have been a little harsh. Because it's just lip syncing.
Also, do a little Googling. Apparently, there was a Beyonce nipple slip.
A little nip slip?
Yeah.
Slippage of the nippage?
Yeah. Okay. We haven't heard much about that, but I did see the picture. There was.
Did it look like
there was
one?
Some slippage.
Did it look like one of those? I'd like to give a little shout out. I know this is personal, but I'd like to give a little shout out to Enzo, who is my son, and he's 10 months old today. So,
you think he's listening?
I think he's probably not listening.
If he this is what you play to put him to sleep, isn't it?
Yeah. How'd you guess? Yeah, that's nice.
And to Sheridan. My buddy Sheridan finally caught one of our episodes. And you know what he said
like
to me?
Like a cold.
You know what he said to me? I really like the theme music. I kind of wish it would play on for a little longer.
Really?
So obviously the music he enjoyed more than us.
That's funny because another one of our listeners, Kevin, said that he thought that the theme music didn't fit the lighthearted nature of our banter. And wanted us to pick new ones, which I thought was a little bossy considering he's not involved in the show at all. But, that's just me. So don't forget, you can always email us at podcast@pause.com. And
when you're downloading us from iTunes or, if you subscribe to us, please leave us a review on iTunes because that's one of the things they gauge us by, when they're promoting us.
Do you want to rethink that?
I know. I was working it out in my head. And
spicy Thai. Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, spicy Thai. Speaking of spicy Thai, have you ever had those spicy Thai chips from Kettle Chips? They come in a sort of deep red bag. Have you ever had them?
No.
You have to try those. They're incredible. It's like, do you like flavored potato chips in general? Depending on the flavor.
Yeah.
Because it's like, what it always reminds me of? Remember how when you would watch Willy Wonka as a kid and they talked about the...
The gum that was the five-course meal.
Right, the five-course meal. Uh-huh. It's like that. You start eating these potato chips, and it really feels like there's some kind of substantial food flavors going on in your mouth and not just a dusting of, cheese dust or something like that.
Like, what's it, obviously it's Thai flavor. What is that? Is it like peanut? Is it like...
It's not peanut. It's,
like lemongrass?
No, there's like maybe some lemongrass. I don't know. I think there's some ginger in there and some chili. And stuff like that.
You could say chitlins.
I don't think that's very Thai.
Chitlin chips are the best.
Yeah. From the Thai quarter of New Orleans. They're so good. They're hard to find. I have to go to that World Market store to find them because I don't think I've seen them anywhere else. But you should definitely check them out. They're really good. I got a bag of them last week and have been holding on to them, waiting for just the right occasion to indulge. Apparently that has not happened yet. And, of course, don't forget to listen at the end of the show when we reveal our best and worst entertainment moments of the week.
I pointed out to Lou earlier how I think it's really funny that he reminds us to listen to that. Because it, like, you're going to listen to the show and then, 10 minutes before the end, you go, well, they must be done.
I'm turning this off.
I don't think
off.
There's anything left here.
Yeah, whatever.
One thing you forgot to mention, we now have, if you're on Facebook, we now have a fan page on Facebook.
That's right. So please... Find us on Facebook. Just look up, do a search on pause.com, and you'll see it on there. And give your friendship freely. I didn't know what
not
else.
Too freely.
I don't know if you want to.
I've seen news shows on that.
I don't know if it, and the victims, quote unquote. I don't know if you want to tell people not to be free with their friendship. I personally like that. But that's me. And I was on one of those shows, handcuffed to a van. So that might say something about me. There was something else I wanted to talk about, and now I've completely forgotten what that is. So I think we're just going to
makes for a great conversation.
We're just going to go right into video games. We've both been playing the legendary Cars pack for Burnout Paradise.
You want to rethink that?
On the Xbox 360. Although I have to admit, I got into it, and I couldn't figure out what I was supposed to be doing. Because I didn't realize...
Well, that's because you finished all the challenges.
I know, but I thought... Okay, if you haven't played Burnout Paradise, one of the cool things about it is that each different type of car has what's called a burning route, which is a race that they've made up just for that car. So once you get that car, one of the special things that you can do with it is there's a race that was made for that, and you know it has a particular starting point and end point, and it's different for every car. And a lot of them are easy, and some of them are kind of challenging, and a few of them are really, really tough. But there's one for every car. So I thought that the legendary cars were going to have that too. So I paid my $8 for it, and I downloaded it, and I go in there, and I can't find anything.
No, those cars are only good for the challenges that aren't specific to a car. So whether they be the race challenges or the stunt runs or the road rage. But you finished all those.
I did. I finished all those like last summer.
So basically you paid $8 just to add a couple cars
but,
to your collection.
But it's fine because the 88 special, the one that's supposed to be like the Back to the Future car, that thing hauls major ass when you're hovering. It is so fast, you know, especially when you're boosting.
And what I like about it is when you're making a sharp turn, if you're not hovering, the car skids a little when it's on the wheels. But if you are hovering, you know, because there are no wheels to road, there's like no skidding.
Yeah, but I still found it was a little tricky to control. You know, the problem with any of those things is once you get really high speed, any little movement on a controller, it is, you know, amplified that much more.
Well, you know, that's true in real life.
With your hovering car. I made mine green, and Amy was so upset with me. She's like, why did you just leave it silver? You made it green, but it looked cool in green. I always go through the colors on those things, which is crazy because I'm colorblind and can't tell what half of them are.
I actually was playing the other night till I got like I was like sleepy. Like,
yeah,
I was like I felt myself falling asleep as I was playing,
and you
so
couldn't
I went
stop
to bed.
Playing.
Yeah. And then I had dreams of driving. I did
dreams of driving in general, or dreams of driving those cars
those
in that
cars.
Game.
Yeah.
Oh no,
that's really nerdy. I just made a really big nerdy confession.
That's even beyond geeky. That is actually nerd territory. And Mike, if you're listening, pay close attention because my friend Mike just does not understand the difference between the words geek, nerd, and dork. He always uses them incorrectly. So hopefully he's listening. That was a nerdy moment. All you need was a pocket protector, some glasses, and a little snivel to your laugh, and it would have been perfect. The cars are pretty cool. And
you know what's amazing to me? I hadn't played the game in a while. And in fact, it was the first time I turned on my 360 since I bought the PS3, which was like New Year's Day.
Mm-hmm.
And I got completely immersed in it again. I played it more in the last week than I've played any game in a while. And there's just so much to do there. And then when you get bored of one part of it, you're like, oh, you know what? I'm going to try this part. You know, when you get bored of like, you know, the Showtime the Road Rules Challenge where you're like smashing up as many cars and racking up as big damage total as you can. Then you're like, you know what? Maybe I'll do a race now. Or maybe I'll, you know. Or maybe I'll go online and race some people online. There's so many things to do on it. I mean, that's really, for your money, that's like the best value you can get in a video game.
It is. I mean, aside from a really big RPG where it's going to take you months to finish it, you know, just because it's so big, I think it's probably the most fun driving game I've ever played, certainly. And like you said, seriously, one of the best values because there's so much to do and it's so well executed.
Yeah.
I've had very few instances in that game where I found anything even remotely buggy or flaky or that didn't work like you expected it to work.
Right.
There's a few things, and I guess the downside of that is that there's so much stuff in there that sometimes it's hard to find what you're looking for.
Yeah,
you know, like especially if you go through the menu, the shoulder buttons of the controller are used once you pause the game to go through to the different menu sections.
Yeah,
and there's just so much stuff, and there's even more now.
Right,
you know, so it's
and
a little,
to see if you go, there's a little store section they've added. And you can see things that are coming out. So they're going to keep adding stuff. Like there's
which
a toy
really
pack,
cool.
which are little toy cars. Then there's a like special boost pack.
Now the toy cars, is that like Tonka trucks and Matchbox cars kind
I
of
believe
stuff?
So.
Or
I
just
believe
like
so.
Completely ridiculous car designs?
No, I think they're mini. In the pictures, they look like they're going to be mini. I don't know what purpose they'll serve.
Oh, so you're not going to drive them?
I would imagine.
Well, I don't understand.
I don't know. It's not very clear on there. I mean, it's coming soon. It's like,
oh, okay.
And then there's the island coming. You know, the whole
yeah, the island
expanded
which is
area
be, yeah.
that's coming out. That's supposed to be pretty.
And seriously, and that's one of the coolest things about this game too is just that there's no loading. You just drive all right. over the world of this game, and it never stops. It never pauses. You never load. I mean, you know, when you pick a new car at the junkyard, you know, it goes into right. a different little mode. But still, it's done within the context of the game, and it's really well done.
Another thing, as I mentioned before, you know, to you earlier, is every time you load up, there can be something new in it. They add things.
Right.
Like whether it be a billboard, like, you know, there used to be billboards for Circuit City.
Right,
now
that
Circuit
are gone
City's
now.
No longer there.
Yeah.
So now there's billboards for, like, Diesel Jeans.
Yeah.
Apparently, I never saw this because I didn't turn on the time, but during the election, there were billboards for Obama.
That's hilarious.
Which is so cool. So every time you turn it on, there could be something new.
Yeah. Yeah. And did you say, too, that you can tell it to adjust the day and night cycles to match the actual time of day wherever yeah. you are?
So if you're playing at noon, the game is at noon. If you're playing at night.
That's so cool. You know what they should do with that? Is because it's so easy to get weather feeds, they should do a game where whatever the weather is where you are, it's mimicked in the game too.
You know what? I wouldn't be surprised if that didn't come later. I'm surprised there aren't like weather conditions.
Yeah. Like because there's already, well, I don't know, it doesn't really rain in that game, but it definitely gets cloudy. It'd be cool to see, you know, if it was cloudy where you are, if it got cloudy there.
Yeah,
and that sort
that's
of
a great
thing.
Idea.
That'd be fun.
Criterion, if you're listening.
That's what you want to do next. That'll impress the ladies.
Now, I see then, what Lou's going to talk about next.
I'm going to move into talking about one of my favorite subjects and one of Tony's least favorite subjects, which is the world of Bejeweled, because there is yet another family member now, and that's Bejeweled Blitz on Facebook. I just happened to notice the other day that a friend of mine had some little score posted in her status updates for Bejeweled Blitz. And, of course, I thought, huh, Bejeweled Blitz, what's that? And so
how
I clicked
do I
on
not
it.
Know this?
Exactly. How do I not know this? And it's like, you know, most of the games on Facebook, it's just a little mini game kind of thing. And what it is, it's the original like Bejeweled 2 kind of game.
Uh-huh.
But you only have, well, I think they change it every week because I just noticed they wiped all the scores and started a new weekly challenge or something. But what it is, at least last week and this week, is you go to play the game and you have 1 minute to play it and see what, you know, how high of a score you can
that's
get.
That's about all I've got for that game.
But it's cool too because they added a bonus multiplier. So I think if you get a few, like more than two cascades in a row, and a cascade is when you make a match that causes other matches to happen.
Uh-huh.
So if you get a couple cascades in a row, it puts out a bonus multiplier. And then if you can match that, then you double your score or triple it or quadruple it or whatever.
Intriguing.
It is. So I want to see what you can come up with. See if you can beat me on that. I don't think you can.
No.
What?
I don't know.
What?
That's what? A grandmother game.
It's not a grandmother game. My grandmother would never be able to see those teeny tiny little shapes. Her eyes are so bad. No, I'm just kidding. But I actually have trouble with it because it's all color based.
Oh, here we go.
I'm colorblind.
Here
what do you want?
Go.
No. I do have trouble with it because some of the colors are very similar. Like the colors, the yellow is fine. The red is fine. It's actually the ones that are green and amber that I have a hard time telling apart. And they're different shapes, but if you're just looking at the whole board because you're trying to find a match, it can be really tough for me to find something because of that. But and somebody told me that in the original, the regular standalone game, that there's a shapes option that you can kind of downplay the colors so that if you're colorblind, it's not as challenging in that respect. But they didn't.
There aren't enough games for colorblind.
There are not. I'm thinking about starting a society just so that I can write complaint letters and get a bunch of free stuff.
Yeah.
I think it's a good idea. That. Thank you. I'll just play up the whole political correctness aspect
oh,
of
yeah,
it.
Yeah, because you're the role model for that.
Well, that's the whole point. I don't believe in it at all, but I'm certainly willing to take advantage of it. I mean, if the rest of society embraces it, why shouldn't I get something out of it?
All right.
That's what marketing and sales are based on, the stupidity of the customer. Okay? I'm just saying. Are we still down? Do we still not have internet access?
Yeah, we're still down.
That's not good. I don't have anything else to talk about in games.
Killzone 2 coming out on Friday, so I should have a little talk about.
What's up with the Friday release date?
I don't know.
Doesn't stuff usually come out on Tuesdays?
I thought so.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think I have anything else. Although I am looking forward to Dragon Age Origins, which is a RPG that's coming out where I guess they have, you know, in a lot of role-playing games, there will be, you know, you pick your different class or whatever. Well, these characters are specific characters that, you know, have a name and a whole backstory. And so part of what you're playing through is the backstory of the character, or something like that. And the backstory affects how your character, you know, is
right.
is seen by the other people in the game and all that sort of thing. So that sounds kind of cool, and that should be fun when it comes out.
There is a game that I saw, I read a little article on. I haven't really gone online to see if there's any video or anything yet for it, but it's coming out late this year called I Am Alive.
Yeah.
And it's where, I'm just mentioning this because there's one cool little thing that I've never seen before. It's where you are one of the few survivors of a like 10.2 earthquake
okay.
in Chicago.
Really?
Yeah. I don't think I've ever seen a video game other than Project Gotham 2 had a little like track in Chicago. But other than
right,
that,
yeah.
I haven't really seen a video game in Chicago.
That's true. That is kind of cool.
Yeah.
And also not unrealistic because, of course, Chicago sits on the largest fault line in the United States.
Is that one of your conspiracy theories?
The New Madrid fault. Well, no, you know that. You knew that, right?
No, I don't know that.
Oh, yeah. The New Madrid Fault is, and it's, as far as I know, it is pronounced Madrid and not Madrid for some stupid reason. But anyway, that fault goes under, right under the city of Chicago. And every once in a while, we get little tremors here. Have you ever felt one? There was one last year, wasn't there?
Well, you know, I lived in California, so to me, those aren't tremors.
Right, right. Because the California ones.
I survived the big one. I think we should end now.
Yes. Let's move on. So that's all we have for video games. We're going to take a little break, and then we'll be back to talk about TV in a minute. Okay, we're back, and we're going to talk about TV now. Although we can't talk about Heroes because somebody hasn't watched it yet.
That's because, I had the puppy neutered on Monday.
Congratulations, I guess. Wait, is that code?
No, that's
an actual puppy.
Little Fredo.
Oh.
Yeah. Was neutered on Monday. And I
named after the Godfather character?
Yeah, actually, yeah.
Yeah. Well, what about your other dog, Chico? Was he named after Chico and the Man?
No.
Oh.
No. There's named no after the brand between of the two names.
Named after the brand of shoes?
But what's funny is apparently Chico thinks that Fredo is close to Chico, so... If I call Fredo, they both come, yeah.
Yeah.
But when I brought Fredo in to be neutered, if I could just tell a little side story here,
sure.
They let me know that he also needed some teeth pulled because he had all his adult teeth in, but there were two baby teeth that still had
really?
So so he had pain on both ends.
Oh, no. Yeah, poor thing. That's not good. That is
so,
sad.
Yeah, so I had to deal with that. I didn't see Heroes, but I will watch it today.
Yeah. It was a fine episode, but I'm not giving anything about the story away. But it now is the
But Claire dies.
Yeah. They all die. No, but it's the second time in 2 weeks that I've seen a sci-fi expose episode. Because, you know, a couple weeks ago on Battlestar Galactica, there was the expose from hell. And then this was another expose episode. So I was kind of disappointed.
What do you mean by that?
Where they tell you a lot of stuff.
Oh, I see.
You know what I mean? And actually, the Heroes one was not as bad as the Battlestar Galactica one.
It's the origin of the...
Well, it's a bunch of flashbacks about how
father.
Yeah, how Noah got involved. And can I ask a question about this? Why does everybody still call him HRG, even though we know his name is Noah?
Who calls him that?
Every time I see him referred to in the press, basically, whenever I see people writing about him, they always refer to him as HRG. Mm-hmm. Do people just like little codes?
Yeah, Brangelina.
Well, that's not a code. That's not an acronym.
Yeah, but
it's not an acronym.
No, but
it's a code.
Mashup.
It is a mashup.
It's some little nickname.
That's true. But it was a decent episode. Chuck was great again this week. It was pretty funny. Good Chuck and Morgan stuff going on. Not so much in the way of Chuck and Sarah. There was a little bit of that, but mostly.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Mostly it was a Chuck and Morgan episode, and it was a funny one. Okay, you want to talk about Lost?
Sure.
They're back on the island.
They are back on the island.
Some of them are back on the island. Well, because not everybody went back, right?
Well, Aaron's not... I'd like to know what happened to Aaron. All of a sudden, we're not supposed to ask.
Well, we can ask.
Jack's
not
supposed to
ask. Right. Well, we can ask all we want. I don't think she's listening, though. No, I guess they all did go back, right?
Yeah.
Because they all ended up getting on the plane together.
Right.
And that was actually pretty funny.
Okay, here's what I loved about that scene on the plane. Did you notice how some of them took the roles of other of the original the original survivors? Remember, Hurley came on and he had a guitar case, like Charlie did.
Okay.
Saeed was handcuffed to like a marshal,
like Kate was. Right.
Did you notice that?
Not notice that.
That was really cool.
But here's what I don't get. The woman who I still don't understand the significance of her. Here's the other thing too. Desmond said something to her about.
Speak a little faster.
No, wait a second. I'm just trying to think. Do you remember what I'm talking about?
This is going to be a 3-hour episode.
Either she said something to him, or he said something to her about that they had had some dealing in the past. Do you remember what I'm talking about? That somebody mentioned that?
Vaguely.
And I couldn't remember what that was.
No, but maybe
comes
we haven't
later.
Seen it yet. Well, you know how they keep going
right.
back and forward in time. Maybe
right.
that's foreshadowing to something that's going to happen in the past. Which
yeah.
Yeah. It's like Back to the Future.
There's some goofy stuff on that show. Yeah. Okay. Here's one of the things in TV shows and movies that absolutely drives me crazy. When two people are in a room talking about something and one of them asks a question and then the door flies open and somebody who was three rooms away 2 seconds ago answers the question. Like, you know, do you really expect that nobody's going to know what's going on between us? And then the door opens and the police commissioner says, you're damn right, nobody knows what's going on. It's like, well, how could you have heard that? You were in the next room and the door was closed. So similar to that, they get back to the island. And at the end of the episode, we find out that it's back in the 50s, right? Uh-huh. And so Jin gets out of a Jeep or whatever and pulls a gun on them and is staring at them for like 10 seconds. And then finally Hurley goes, Jin? And he's like, oh. And you know, and he realizes who it is. How could he not realize who they are? For him, it's only been like 2 days.
Right.
It was stupid. That was just a dumb scene. But still, it's kind of cool that what's going on. I wasn't crazy about that lady's like explanation and presentation in that room. It was very hokey.
No. You know what? And it doesn't seem like there's going to be a lot of her, which is good.
Yeah. It was really hokey.
Yeah, it was.
And the whole thing with the note from Locke to to Jack, that was kind of dumb.
Who would take the time to write that note?
It was like 5 words.
And go through all the trouble to make sure it's delivered.
Exactly. But then the other thing that I was going to say is that she told them that they needed to try to recreate as closely as possible the same conditions on the plane as when they went the first time. But Lapidus wasn't their pilot, was he?
No. No, but remember he said...
He was supposed to be.
He was supposed to be, yeah. Well, that's close.
Yeah. And there were two great lines there. One when Jack asks Ben, well, what's going to happen to everyone else? And Ben's like, who cares?
Right.
And then the other was when Lapidus is like, oh, crap, we're not going there, you know, wherever they were supposed to be going.
Right.
They, oh, we're not going there, are we? But he was. I mean, he wouldn't have been sucked out with them, would he?
I don't know.
So that was kind of weird. But yeah, it was pretty, I mean, despite those issues, it was still a pretty decent episode. Right.
But now it should get really good now that they're back on the island.
Yeah. So did everyone go back other than Aaron?
Other than Aaron, yeah.
And really, Jin's baby, because she was pregnant when she left.
Oh, that's true.
So I don't know if that's going to affect things either.
Yeah.
But wouldn't it be funny if they never brought up Aaron again?
No, that wouldn't be funny. That would drive me crazy.
Yeah, but there's so many things that they don't bring up ever again. Okay, Top Chef.
Oh, really? You're going to skip over you having to eat some crow?
No, I'm not skipping over that. Don't worry. We'll get back to that.
Someone doesn't want to pay the
piper.
No,
I'll pay the piper. Hold on. I've got my checkbook ready. I just want to get to this other stuff first. Top Chef, final three are Stefan, Hosea, and Carla. I would like to see Hosea win.
I think Stefan should have gone home this week and not Fabio.
I agree. Because in that particular episode, he did the poorest.
Right.
I totally agree.
I mean, overall, I guess he's been the, you know.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing is I love Fabio. I think he's hilarious, but he was consistently middle of the road.
Right.
And Stefan has been in the top almost the entire season. But you don't like Hosea.
Yeah, something about, I don't know what it is.
Is it because he's bald? Are you
no.
a hater?
Not at all.
Okay.
No.
So if I shaved Carla's head, you'd still want her to win?
Actually, yeah. Bigger eyes
even
pop
more?
Out even more.
Oh, God. Please,
I like
no.
Carla. I've really warmed up to her. I found her a little annoying at first, but...
I'm still there.
give her time.
What? This is the last episode. How much time is she going to have? I don't know. She just got the bug eyes, you know?
Yeah.
And she says a lot of crazy stuff, too.
This is coming from the guy who last week told me not to make fun of the way a person looks.
Hey, I never do that. Except for right now. No, there's kind of differences there. But the thing is she's making crazy faces.
But here's the thing. She's always very positive. She's very cheery. She's very, I think she's humble. I mean, I don't see cockiness in her like I see in Stefan.
What about Hosea? He's not too cocky.
I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
He's kind of a doormat.
You have a problem with those people in general, don't you?
I don't know what it is.
That's why you don't like the guy from The Bachelor.
I don't know enough about him.
Oh. I thought you said you called him the doormat.
No.
That wasn't you. Okay. I must be confused. I thought you told me that story. But anyway. And then the other thing I wanted to mention is I totally forgot to talk about this last week, but the first episode of Dollhouse was on a couple weeks ago, and I was not really impressed with it. I was really disappointed because, you know, I loved Firefly, and so I was really looking forward to this because it's also done by Joss Whedon. And the first episode was
He's the guy who did Dawson's Creek, right?
I don't know. Did he? I don't know.
You just don't want to admit it.
No, I don't know. I never saw that. I know he did Buffy, which I also have not seen, but everyone tells me it's fantastic. Did you ever watch that show?
You know what? I never watched it when it was on, and then I had one time rented like the first disc of the first season.
Yeah.
And it made me feel old, or I just didn't get it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
But you didn't watch Firefly, did you?
No.
You should see that. I'll let you borrow the DVDs.
Have seen a couple episodes of The Creek, though.
Okay. Stop talking about Dawson's Creek. This is about sci-fi. This is not about Dawson's Creek. Was Dawson's Creek sci-fi?
No.
Oh. Would it have been better if it had been, do you think?
It couldn't be better.
What? Are you being serious?
No.
Oh, God. Well, because, you know, there were some people who were in love with that show. No, I never saw it, although I did know a girl about 10 years ago whose boyfriend's name was Dawson, and I used to make fun of her for that all the time. Uh-huh. You know, because, of course, he had a choice in that matter. But anyway, so I was really disappointed with the first episode of Dollhouse. I just didn't care about anybody in that show. It was just so, you know, it's called Dollhouse because there are these people that they call actives. And they basically have had their personality wiped and they're imprinted with a new one to go on missions, which they call engagements. So, like, let's say some guy wants a girlfriend for the weekend and wants her to be this exact personality type.
So they're like hookers.
In that sense, they are. But then they also do other things. Like she was at the beginning of the pilot, she was basically this guy's girlfriend for the weekend. And then in her next engagement, she was like a very seasoned hostage negotiator, helping this guy get his kidnapped daughter back from some, you know, Mexican drug cartel people or whatever.
Now, would you think that costs more per hour than just to be the, you know, regular hooker?
Well, actually, in the second episode, they refer to the fact that they've got an extra rider and extra fees for any engagements that sort of go above and beyond what they would consider an acceptable risk level for their actives.
Right.
So they actually do charge more based on the dangerousness of whatever the assignment is. So, but
I'm leaving all jokes that are running through my mind. Leaving them alone.
Oh, come on. Come on. Bring them on.
No, bring them on.
This so anyway.
Is not an explicit joke.
Okay. So, oh, that's true. So, you know, in the first episode, it was just completely boring because there are a lot of aspects of the show that relate to other shows, like My Own Worst Enemy, which was just canceled, but was really exciting from the first episode.
You know, Christian Slater is my own worst enemy.
How is that possible?
His voice alone.
Really? Do you not like him?
No.
He was good in that. I'm not a big fan in general, but he was really good in that, I thought.
I only liked him in Heathers.
Which I've never seen.
You should see that.
Is it good?
Yeah.
Yeah. I've heard that. I think I used to get that confused with Pump Up the Volume, and so I'm just like, I don't want to see that.
No.
Because didn't he do those both around the same time?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, go on.
Anyway. So there are also elements of, and I know you're going to laugh at this, of Quantum Leap. Because you know how in Quantum Leap he would basically take over somebody's body?
Right.
But the thing was, the good thing about that was that Sam was always Sam. So he always brought his own personality and his goodness to everybody whose life he took over, and that ended up benefiting them.
Oh, so in this show, they just become completely different people?
When they're wiped, she's nothing. They're basically like, you know, drones, and they go and they lay in this hole on the floor and they go to sleep.
How can you be sympathetic toward them
exactly
over a long period of time?
Exactly. And the first scene in the show was so hokey and everything. But anyway, so this week, so now, the second episode last Friday was fantastic. I almost wish that would have been the pilot.
Right.
Because it was really exciting. What happens is this guy, first of all, you see flashbacks to, you know, her name is Echo. All the people are named after the NATO alphabet or whatever, like Alpha, Bravo, you know, Charlie, da-da-da. So she's Echo. And
does she say everything twice?
She doesn't, although that would be a really neat inside joke. Right. They would do that once in a while. Maybe in the Grand Canyon episode where she helps the little guy who stores his Franks and beans in his flashlight. Oh, wait, that's a different show. Anyway, so in this show, you see some flashbacks to the fact that Alpha, obviously the first one, mm-hmm. something happened and he went on a killing spree and killed like everybody except for her. And we don't know why. But now we're starting to realize that he's still out there somewhere. And the engagement that she goes on is this guy hires her to be, you know, his girlfriend for the weekend again. And they charge him extra because there's, you know, some danger to her. And you think it's going to be something really kinky and nasty. And then it turns out that he's taking her like whitewater rafting and rock climbing and stuff like that.
Right.
So obviously that's what the danger is. And, you know, they're having a great time and she's the perfect girlfriend for him, just like he paid for and everything. And they fool around and they're sitting in the tent after they've fooled around. And he's like, and then he makes some comment about how she better get going. And she's like, what are you talking about? He goes, and he picks up his crossbow or his bow and arrow. And he's like, I'll give you 5 minutes and then I'm coming after you. So basically he hired her so that he could kill her.
Oh, that's cool.
Like screw around with her and then hunt her down. And of course they didn't know any of this.
Right.
So then it turns out that he's hired this other guy because you know, the clients always know that these people are being imprinted for
right.
them. And so he knew that she was going to have a handler nearby making sure she was okay. So he's hired this guy to pretend to be a cop to go out and find the handlers and kill them so that there's nobody protecting her. And,
you know, that sounds pretty good.
It actually turned out to be a really, really cool episode. I mean, very, very cool.
But I really think it would have been more successful if they called the hookers on the run.
You just can't give up on that, can you? And, you know, that's actually not a bad name for the show. I just don't think that it would pull in the kind of demographics that Fox is looking for. but no, it was a really good second episode. And now I'm actually looking forward to it this week, whereas uh-huh. last week I was just kind of like, well, we'll give it another shot. But, right. you know, this might be it. But now, and what was also cool is they showed you how they imprint the active with their handler.
Uh-huh.
And it wasn't anything, you know, earth shattering or anything, but it was cool. It was cool that they showed you that was actually part of the process. And that her handler, when he first started out, was kind of skeptical of the whole thing.
Right.
But, no, it was definitely a good second episode. So now we can go ahead and talk about,
I think you have something to say,
American
don't you?
Idol, which is,
you have something to say. Admit it.
I was. Okay. I was.
Oh, we have internet.
Yes, we do have internet. I was wrong. I said that I didn't think that Alexis Grace was going to make it through because I thought that Anne-Marie Boscovich would have more fans. And look, I was wrong. People actually voted. Well, people for the girls voted on talent. What happened with the guys?
Yeah.
Michael Sarver?
You know, I like Michael Sarver, but should he have gone through?
No. It should have been either Ricky Bratty or a noob, yeah. along with Danny. Danny for sure was the right call.
I agree.
But I was really disappointed by that. And again, Michael Sarver seems like a great guy. However, I don't think he should have gone through.
Right.
So that was weird. And then I just talked to somebody at American Idol a few minutes ago, and they did confirm.
Who'd you talk to, Randy?
No, I didn't talk. Call Randy. Like,
you know,
hey,
what
dog.
Up, dog?
Hey, dog. Hey, dog, let me ask you a question, dog, about the schedule coming up, dog. So, dog, if you were going to tell me. No, I talked to one of the people in the PR department because I was confused about the wild card show.
Right.
I thought it was going to be in 2 weeks from now, but it's actually going to be next week.
You know, that's actually good because, I mean, had they spread it over 4 weeks, that would have
taken
too
long.
Much, yeah.
Yeah. So this week is round two of the top 12. Next week on Monday and on Tuesday and Wednesday is round three of the top 12, and then Thursday is going to be the wild card show. So, but you know, I don't get it. If Thursday's the wild card show,
then obviously the judges must pick.
Oh, you're right.
Unless Wednesday's show, they'll give the results at the beginning and then
oh, maybe.
Let the wild cards.
Sing.
I don't know. We did see that article though that said the wild cards may not be.
From the people who have gotten cut in this
right.
part of the
so
show.
So maybe Jamar will come
that's
back.
That's what I said to the woman at Fox, and she said, I don't know. I don't think they've even decided yet how they're going to do it. But
she that rude?
No. She was very nice.
I don't know. Don't even talk to me.
No. She was very nice. And she said that she thinks that they haven't decided how they're going to do it yet. So anything is possible, basically. So last week, Alexis Grace, Michael Sarver, and Danny Gokey went through. Tonight are the next 12, which we can probably look up. Did you try to go?
No.
To see?
No, I was changing my Facebook status.
Oh, that's great.
I wasn't really.
Do you even need to be here for this? Maybe you can find it. Really? Okay, so Group 2 performs tonight. And we've got, who do we've got? Group 2 is Adam Lambert. Now, he's the guy with the dark hair who wears a lot of eye makeup.
Oh, I liked him.
Yeah, I think he's really good.
The one who, for his final song, sang Cher.
Oh.
He's lucky they forgave that.
Let's hope his song choices tonight are a little bit more solid. Then you've got Allison Irahita, who we really didn't see much of her.
No,
before.
She's one of those that...
Yeah, probably will go.
Like
just
the guy from the last one who they didn't really give any backstory to. That was the first time you saw him when he performed.
Ricky Brady?
Right.
Yeah. Jasmine Murray, who you like, but I think is way too nasally.
I liked her.
Yeah. Janine Vales, again, haven't seen her at all, really. Jessie Langseth, who we have seen a little bit of. Something kind of sexy about her. Kind of dig her. You know, because they show people dancing after they've made
it. Do we need to take a moment?
No.
You just kind of pause there.
No. No, because you know how they do that thing where they show everybody dancing after they show who's made it in?
Right.
And she was doing her little dance. I'm like, oh, she's kind of sexy.
You know, whenever they show that little thing where they all do a little dance at the end, I always think if I were on there and they told me I had to do that, that would be the worst thing in the world for me.
To have to dance,
I'd be like,
in front of millions of
people. Because I know they'd be like, come on, do something fun. And I'd be like, I don't want to do this.
What I'm always amazed by when they show that too is how it seems like everybody does a different dance. It's like, well, did they get to watch everyone else? How did they know not to do the robot again? You know what I mean? Or whatever it is. But it's like they all seem
to
do...
That's your go-to, is it?
They all seem to do something different.
Did the last guy do the shopping cart? Because I want to do the shopping cart.
I'm going to do the inverted bat. Has anyone done that yet? No? Good. My turn. So there's her, Kai Kalama, who I know we've seen, but I really don't remember.
He's I don't know if he's African-American or...
He actually looks Hawaiian to me, or some kind of Polynesian.
Perhaps.
And his name would...
He was okay. He was okay. I remember seeing him in Hollywood Week.
Chris Allen, who I don't think we've ever seen. Doesn't even look familiar. The name doesn't sound familiar. Matt Breitsky, who is the other big tough guy. I just think he's okay.
You know
what?
I don't think he's going to make it just because Michael Sarver made it.
And not only that, but he just seems okay.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you Michael Sarver.
Okay, right here. I'll tell you who I think is going to go through. Matt Giraud. That guy. We've only seen him a little bit. Why don't you look?
I don't know what page just tell me.
He's, I don't know how to describe him. He's tall, kind of thin. He's got...
tall, thin guy.
mustache and goatee. I think when he was in Hollywood Week, he was playing the piano or the keyboard. He was really, really good.
Okay.
But I think he'll probably be the guy that goes through.
Not
I don't
the blind
know, though.
Guy.
Because Adam Lambert...
Not the blind guy.
Not the who?
The blind guy.
No. He's not tonight. So Matt Giraud, I think, is going to do well. Wow. That's weird, though, because he's going up against Adam Lambert, so that could be tricky again. Megan Corkery, who I think you like a lot.
I liked her. Uh-huh.
And I think she's got a good voice, but she's also very quirky. So, what?
Her name is Corkery.
And she's quirky. I almost can't say it. It's so close. Right? Quirky Corkery. I definitely cannot. Try that. Try to say quirky Corkery.
No.
Just try to say it.
You know what? I feel right now like they would make me dance on American Idol. You making me do that is
would
like,
you do the
come on,
cart?
Do it. You got to dance.
Would you do the shopping cart? Or the inverted bat swing? So Megan Corkery, but she's pretty good. She's mm-hmm. got a good voice. Mishavana Henson, don't think I've ever seen her sing. And then Nick Mitchell. A.K.A. Norman
can't
Gentle.
Can't wait for that one.
God. Well, seriously,
if he
what
does
is
that
the...
as the character he does.
Norman Gentle? Are you out? Is that it?
I was out 3 weeks ago.
This is the last time you're ever going to watch a show? I don't believe you.
No, I didn't say that. I'm just saying.
I always hear people saying that. If so-and-so gets through, I'm never watching
it
again.
My mother says it every week about Lost. Every week.
What?
I'm not watching it anymore. It's gotten stupid. I'm not watching anymore. She said that after every episode.
And then
for
after the episode, she
years.
Calls you. She's like, okay, so let me ask you.
Right.
When are they doing the next pop-up videos episode? Because I like those. Do you have a flowchart handy?
You're ripping on my mom. You're totally ripping on my mom.
Hey, dude, you're ripping on my dad. You remember what that's from? Back to the Beach.
Back to the Beach.
So Norman Gentle will be performing. And I think he may be... No, who's the oldest this year? Isn't there somebody... What's the oldest age you can be?
I want to say 28.
Oh, it is 28? Okay. There are a few... There are one, two, three...
That's a guess, though.
Four people in tonight's group who are 27. That's kind of wild. One, two, three. Sorry, three people who are 27. And two 26-year-olds.
All right. Well, I look forward to a more mature group.
Yeah, yes. I don't know if that's going to mean they're going to sing any better, though, unfortunately. Because, yeah, last week was pretty disappointing. I mean, there were really only
bad.
There were really only like four performances that were worthy of going through.
I mean, it was worse than like a high school talent show.
Well, I don't know what school you went to. But
I would say one you went to.
Yeah, and those people all pretty much sucked. There were like two people in our school who had any kind of talent.
I know, but as was last week's episode.
Yeah. No, you're right. You're right. It was bad. It was really bad. And in fact, well, you know what? There was an interview last week with Alexis Grace where somebody asked her about who she thought either did a really good job or, you know, had a really tough time. And she made some comment to the fact that, you know, she thought everyone did really well and everyone deserved to go through.
Of course.
It's like, come on. Do we need political correctness even in a competition?
Here we go. Here's the rant.
No. I'm just asking. Do we need that kind of BS even in a competition? It's a competition. I mean,
but America is voting for her, so she's obviously going to take a neutral stand so that no one, you know, pegs her as like the catty one.
Right. Well, I was just going to say, I'm glad that she was humble about it.
Right.
But to outright say that, Casey Carlson and Stevie Wright did just as good as anybody else. Yeah. I mean, it's come on. That's crazy. They were terrible. But anyway. All right. That's it for TV, unless you have something else that I don't know about. Okay, we're going to take a little break, and then we'll be back to talk about the Oscars and movies in general. So we will see you in a minute. All right, we're back, and we're going to talk about movies, starting with
this year's
Oscars. That's right. What did you think overall?
I thought the ceremony was great.
Uh-huh.
I liked some of the...
Now, ceremony, by ceremony, mean...
I know.
Do you mean the television show?
The telecast.
The show. The Oscar
show. Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
I thought it was good. I liked some of the changes they made.
Yeah.
And,
now, see, I didn't watch it last year. So what kind of changes?
Well, I'm glad they picked a host, you know, that wasn't a stand-up comedian. That way they're, you know, they went just a different route rather than just a normal, like, monologue at the beginning and the little quips every time they come back to him.
Now, do you consider Billy Crystal to have been a stand-up?
No, I don't think. I mean, he was a stand-up, yeah, right, but I think he was a lot more rounded than, say, like Jon Stewart or Chris Rock.
And did you like when Billy Crystal hosted?
Yes.
Because I actually thought those were pretty good.
Ones. Yeah.
Yeah, I thought those were good. Yeah. And isn't that when they started doing the thing where they would put him into movies?
Right.
Yeah, see, those things were fun.
Those were great.
What did you think about the opening number with Hugh Jackman?
I thought it was great.
You know what I loved about it? I thought it was very clever in a number of ways in that it was respectful to the economic situation and the economic hardship that a lot of people are dealing with by actually saying, you know, we decided not to do something really flashy. But at the same time, they had that whole like cardboard cutout handmade motif that was very cute and still was, I thought, very cleverly done.
Yeah.
And I thought the song, even though, you know, I would never want to listen to that song again, I still thought it was pretty clever. And I thought it ended on a really funny note.
Right.
I also liked his joke about being an Australian, playing an Australian in a movie called Australia and being the host rather than nominated. That was pretty funny. But yeah, I loved These Are the Oscars and I Am Wolverine at the end of that song. That was hilarious.
Or the part where they're doing the little dance to the reader and he was saying he didn't see the reader because he spent all his time making the Batmobile.
That was pretty funny.
But as
far didn't he also make a joke about nobody having seen the reader in the song?
No.
I think
no,
he did.
No, that would have been a slam to the movie.
I know. I think he did, though.
Really?
I think
I have
he did.
Go back and look at that.
I'm pretty sure he did.
He did make a comment about, like, he was going to go see it, but there was a line at the movie theater, and, like, I don't remember him saying that.
I think he did.
That seems like kind of a slam to the movie, though.
Yeah, I don't know. But maybe that was one of the things about it was that it was nominated even though nobody went to see it, really. I don't know.
As far as the awards and, you know, who won. My predictions were pretty close. I mean, like I said, I kind of maybe had a little feeling that Sean Penn was going to win and not Mickey Rourke. And I have to say, after all is said and done, I mean, I'm not disappointed with that. I do think that Mickey Rourke's performance was better, but Sean Penn's performance was great.
Yeah.
And, you know, it did make a political statement that, you know, that I think is good.
Yeah. I just don't like it when people get political during their acceptance speeches.
Right. I just think the political statement he made, though, went along with the character that he
played. Right, it went along with the movie, so it was less...
keeping in the style of the character he played.
It was definitely less annoying than somebody who just randomly talks about their politics, which he usually does.
Right.
And that's why...
But he acknowledges that he kind of poked fun at himself right at the beginning and said, I know that I'm not always easy to appreciate.
Right, right.
But
I thought it was cool.
Really like, and this made me feel a little, easier about Mickey Rourke not winning, that he acknowledged Mickey Rourke.
I was just going to say that. I like that he did that.
That was very gracious.
That was very classy, too.
Yeah.
And it was almost like saying, I would have given this award to Mickey Rourke without seeming unappreciative for the fact that he won.
Completely. Completely. No, it was excellent.
Yeah.
It was excellent. It was not
classy. I didn't know they were brothers.
It was not classy was when Jennifer Aniston was on the stage and they went to Angelina like four times. Did you notice that?
I believe that may have been when I was forced to make pigs in blankets by my house guests.
Now, is that code?
Okay, no, it's not, although I wish it were. But here's the thing. I had just made goat cheese and fig wrapped in phyllo.
Uh-huh. Fancy.
Right. And then go make pigs in blankets. What's up with that?
Who was that? Ed Asner? Who was at your house?
Yeah, Ed Asner stopped by. He was working on his character for Elf 2 and needed a little culinary inspiration. And apparently that's all he can eat during the Oscars.
Well, Jennifer Aniston and Jack Black came on to give the award for Best Animated Feature.
I know I saw at least part of that, but I don't remember them.
And, they had their little banter, their little, patter, I guess it's called. And they kept cutting to Brad and Angelina, like four times they did it.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. This is supposed to be like a classy, show. And that's just so TMZ.
That is TMZ. And
there was nothing that anyone could say anything. I mean, they laughed and they,
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, the camera was right there, so they probably knew that it was happening.
Right. Well, I'm pretty sure that camera was fixed into position because they kept showing them all night long.
Right.
And every time they showed them, my wife would say something like, oh, God, would you please get that ugly woman off our TV or something like that, which her mom didn't realize she was being sarcastic, which was kind of funny. And I did think it was funny that even Hugh Jackman mentioned that he was contractually obligated to mention them at least five times.
Right.
And then he said that, and then he starts something else. He goes, that was one.
Right.
And then keeps going. That was funny.
Yeah. No, I thought the show was great. And it didn't drag for me. I liked the format in which they did it. They made it look like they were going through the steps of making a movie. So they started with screenplay.
That was very cool.
It was very cool. And I think it kept the pace up very well. And it kept my interest through most of it. Because a lot of times I get really bored with a lot of it. But
yeah. And it was still, I thought, a little boring in the sense that, you can't look back at the show and say, oh, my God, did you see this thing on the Oscars? There wasn't any kind of moment like that was
No, but
really...
there were little moments interspersed into it. Like the little, I loved the little sketch with James Franco.
That was hilarious.
That was actually great.
Really funny.
Or the little back and forth.
Were they like what was it that they were like laughing hysterically at?
Doubt and the Reader.
And the Reader. That was so funny. That was so funny.
And I like the little exchange between Tina Fey and Steve Martin.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
That was great.
That's pretty good. And I really liked the idea of for the two male and female award groups each, having those five past winners from each category come out. I thought that was a really cool thing to do. That was neat. And I loved that the chairman of the Academy did not make a speech.
Right.
And I love that they actually made a joke about it. I thought it was, I this is kind of a strange thing to call it, but I thought it was very understated and elegant for the most part and very classily done for the most part. I didn't notice the thing with Jennifer Aniston, but.
Right. Well, I mean, that was the only moment where I think it sunk a little.
Yeah.
But I have to say, another thing that I noticed is everyone who won was very humble. Did you notice that? Kate Winslet was, Penelope Cruz was, even Sean Penn was.
Is Penelope Cruz possibly the most likable person on the planet? She
most
just
likeable?
Seems. Yeah, most likable. She's so sweet.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? She just seems so
She's
sweet.
She's almost childlike.
She is. And
she's a pixie.
She is a pixie. And I think that's one of the things that makes her a great movie star.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because she is so likable.
I wouldn't say she's a great... She's made some bad movies in English.
I didn't say great actress. I said a great movie star.
Okay.
You know that... You ever hear Roger Moore about that? Somebody would say something to him about like, oh, I'm a fan of yours. I think you're a great actor. And he's like, well, actually, I'm a pretty terrible actor, but I am a pretty decent movie star, which I think is a funny thing to say. But I do think that about her. I think she's a great movie star because of that, because she seems like a sweet person. I'm trying to think. I want to say there was one that was not so humble.
And I mean, I mentioned the three big ones. The only one I didn't mention was Heath Ledger. It couldn't have been more humble than that.
No, although that was, I was a little weirded out by his family coming up there and not seeming sad in the least. They were very happy and smiley and giggly and...
Well, I think it was a final, like, tribute to their son.
No, I know, and that's fine.
I mean, it's not like he died last week.
No.
So...
Yeah,
but did you notice how everyone they showed was all tear in the eye?
Yeah.
Adrian Brody, even Sean Penn and George Clooney.
Yeah, I noticed that. Although I think George Clooney had probably been poked. And that's why he was crying. I'm pretty sure he has no actual emotions. And, you know, some people mentioned after the Oscars, well, why didn't they show Heath Ledger in the, you know, these are the people who have died? Well, it's because he was mentioned last year because he died before the Oscars last year. They did that for him last year.
Oh, you're right. They did. You know what? Because I wondered that myself.
Yeah. But you know who they didn't mention, which a lot of people, especially in my other line of work, were very upset about, was Don LaFontaine.
Oh,
I mean, here's
yeah.
a guy who died... Who did, what, 5,000 movie trailers over the course of his
That's
career?
That's a good point.
And they didn't even mention him.
Right.
That was, I thought that was really not cool. And then they also didn't mention, now, of course, I'm going to forget his name, but God, the guy who died from Charlie Brown Christmas. Do you know who I'm talking about?
Pigpen?
No, not Pigpen. Yeah, Pigpen. Now I'm going to look it up. Talk.
Do we have internet?
Oh, no, we don't have internet.
Are we back on?
Damn. It was on for a while, and now it's gone again. Oh, no. It's still down.
I did notice, though, during that tribute to the people who had died, did you notice when they said Charlton Heston? Not much
there
applause?
There was not much applause.
No.
Yeah, and yeah. You know what?
But I thought it was really moving how much Paul Newman got.
Yeah. I mean... The guy made a mean marinara. No, but I'm very annoyed by that whole thing about Charlton Heston, because the reason that they mentioned him is because this is a show about movies.
Right.
And he was an actor.
But, I mean, if you have a personal gripe, you know, you're not going to.
But that has nothing to do with whether or not he was a good actor.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I find that very annoying, personally.
And for now, that's all I have to say about the Oscars.
You know, and then meanwhile, they gave Jerry Lewis
have more to say.
No, meanwhile, they gave Jerry Lewis the Lifetime Achievement Award for his humanitarian work with Jerry's kids, a guy who said that he doesn't think any women are funny, including Carol Burnett or Lucille Ball.
That was a stumble. Charlton Heston's whole life was kind of like,
yeah. Still, yeah. I don't know. I think it's very, it's a double standard in Hollywood.
Right. Well,
politics are fine as long as it's liberal. You know what I mean?
Well, I mean, it was a room of liberals, so
I know for the most part, but not all of them. I mean, there are a lot.
I bet the Oscar party at the NRA
the headquarters, that must have been tense.
Yeah. I bet he got all the applause.
That was a little weird.
But let's move on from Oscars. We'll touch on Oscars a little more later.
All right. So you saw, what did you see?
Well, during Oscar season, I like to think back about movies that were nominated and won and that I haven't seen. So, you know, Turner Classic Movies plays some, you know, they're all over TV. And I happened to catch one that I wanted to see last year and I never got around to seeing, which was There Will Be Blood.
Mm-hmm.
And should have won last year for Best Picture.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen it?
No, but you still have not seen Gangs of New York, have you?
I saw part of it.
You need to watch the whole movie.
I wasn't a fan.
I know, but you need to watch the whole movie. If for nothing else, just for Daniel Day-Lewis's performance.
Well, apparently, I talked to people, you know, after I saw this, I was so blown away by it that I was talking about it a lot, and people were telling me that those two characters are very similar.
Yeah, I heard that too.
But what's one of the things that's most amazing about this movie, it is... the most beautiful movie I have ever seen.
Really?
I can honestly say that.
Really?
I know it sounds like I'm just, swear to God, see it in high def. Don't, if it's ever on TV and it's not in high def, don't even look at it.
Why wouldn't?
Either see it on TV in high def or you know, I'll probably buy the Blu-ray soon and I'll loan it to you. But
yeah,
absolutely the most beautiful movie I've ever seen.
Wow. Well, where did you watch it?
It was on cable. I taped it.
But it was in HD, right?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm surprised by that.
It's gorgeous.
Yeah.
It's gorgeous. And the acting is great. And it's pretty intense.
I think he's phenomenal.
He's great. I mean, it's totally deserved to win. He won last year for it.
And, you know, I never saw... What was the movie that he...
I haven't seen most of his movies.
What was the movie that really brought him into...
My Left Foot.
Yeah, I never saw that. Me and then neither. There was no... Didn't he
in the
play
name
like...
of the Father, I
didn't
never
he play
saw
like
that.
Tarzan or something? What am I thinking of?
Oh, you know what? He did. Was it Greystoke? Was he Tarzan?
Legend of Greystoke?
No, that's Christopher Lambert. We don't have internet.
Christopher Lambert? The guy from Highlander?
Yeah, he played.
Really?
Wasn't he Tarzan in that?
I don't know. We don't
Where's
know
the internet?
The internet is nowhere to be found.
Anyway.
Oh, it's back. It's back. Quick. Look something up while you still can.
I'll talk while you look.
Okay, I'm going to look it up. What was I going to look up a minute ago? Now I can't even remember.
Oh, the guy who had died.
From Charlie Brown. Okay, Charlie Brown. Let me look up that first. Charlie Brown.
I tell you, it's Pigpen.
Christmas. It's not Pigpen.
You can't live long living like a slob.
It is not.
I mean, he's completely covered in dust and dirt.
Bill Melendez.
Oh, of course.
Right? Didn't he die?
I don't know who that is.
I think he just died.
What did he have to do with Charlie Brown Christmas?
He produced it. Or directed it, I mean. He directed it.
Charles Schultz? Didn't he?
Charles Schultz wrote it. No, okay. Bill Melendez directed it. And, I mean, he did, you know.
Well,
Bill
how do you direct, you know.
What do you mean? You got to direct the character's actions and set the pacing and all that kind of stuff. Cartoon characters don't actually really exist and walk around
I know,
and
but
talk.
It's drawn and all that by, you know.
Okay, so you want to take away from the whoever directed The Incredibles
I think you're
or Wall-E?
Up a lot. No, but that's different.
It's also probably one of the most famous animated TV specials of all time.
But it doesn't hold up anymore.
Okay, you know what?
I'm just trying to make him cry.
Them's fighting words, mister. Bill Melendez, as a director, no, as a producer, has 65 things in his IMDb page.
Uh-huh. My Pretty Pony.
As an actor, he was also an actor.
Strawberry Shortcake.
No, 52 things. As a director, 43 things.
Uh-huh.
So the guy was a big deal. In Hollywood, and especially in animation.
I've never heard of him.
Okay, but whatever.
Actually, if you just told me his name, I think he was the one that killed his parents with his brother.
No, that was somebody else.
That's Menendez.
That was Menendez. Please don't tarnish and sully his reputation. I'm sure he's a fine, upstanding man.
So sensitive.
Well,
anyway.
You can't mess around with Charlie Brown Christmas. It's a classic. And he should have been mentioned. That's all I'm saying is he should have been mentioned.
Okay.
Okay, and then Daniel Day-Lewis.
Uh-huh.
Daniel Day-Lewis. Didn't he play Tarzan or somebody like that? I swear there was some like kind of
somebody like that. You mean like George of the Jungle?
Yeah, one of those. He was in Gandhi? I didn't know that. What am I thinking of?
Well, see this. You have to see this soon so we can discuss.
A Room with a View. I never saw that. Well, I have no idea what I'm thinking. Oh, Last of the Mohicans.
That's not Tarzan. Wow.
I'm sorry. But that's what I was that's what I was thinking of.
Wow.
With Last of the Mohicans. And I never saw that either.
My segment's over.
And that was actually quite a while after My Left Foot, so I don't know even what I'm thinking about. My Left Foot, do you know the official title of that movie is My Left Foot, The Story of Christy Brown?
No.
Well, that's what it says here.
He also won the Oscar for that.
He played Christy Brown. He played a girl.
I believe it's a man.
Oh. Gangs of New York, though, you got to see the whole thing.
You got to watch the whole thing.
Because of Leo?
It's not going to work. It's overacted. It's completely overacted.
Not him.
Okay, maybe not him. But
well, you can't watch
DiCaprio,
it just for that?
DiCaprio's in all of it.
Oh.
DiCaprio. And
minor
who's
character.
So grating in that, Cameron Diaz. Cameron Diaz should not be in that movie.
Yeah, but you know what? And I can't say it because it's explicit. Daniel Day-Lewis has a line to Leo's character about Cameron Diaz's character that will just make you laugh hysterically.
Okay.
It wasn't
I'll find
intended.
That line and I'll watch that, but
I'll just tell you what it is after the show, but I can't say it on the show.
Okay.
But it's amazing just for his performance. amazing.
Well, then you will really appreciate this movie.
Okay. We'll have to.
But let's move on to the movies that you've seen. God. You've seen a couple movies.
Yeah, we saw The International at the movie theater. That's the Clive Owen vehicle with Naomi Watts and a few other big stars. Not a great movie. Entertaining.
Is it 'cause of her? Because I don't like her.
No, I like her. And she was, you know, that really could have been anyone. It really didn't need to be Naomi Watts. She was fine. Nothing wrong with it. It just kind of never really went anywhere. It had sort of a soft resolution. The movie is about, you know, he's trying to take down, well, actually he and her, they both work for, he works for Interpol. She works for the CIA. And they're trying to take down this bank that does a lot of arms dealing to whoever. They basically, you know, don't care who they're selling stuff to. And the overall tone of the movie is about how the banks don't even really care about making money on the transactions that they do. They just want to control as much debt as possible because, as one of the guys says in the movie, if you control the debt, you control everything. Uh-huh. And that's actually really true. I mean, you know, there are a lot of people who have all these conspiracy theories about one world governments and the new world order and, you know, that there is no more, there are no more, you know, what was that movie? There are no more countries, man. It's all companies, you know? Yeah. And that's really, I mean, that really is true. And that attitude, you control the debt, you control everything, is true. And in the movie, what they were doing was they were selling arms to this one country and they, you know, the guy's like, well, how is this going to help us? And they're like, well, we think you're in a good position to overthrow the current government. He's like, well, what do you want in exchange? And the guy's just like, no, you know, just the appreciation of a loyal customer. That's all. Because, you know, obviously they wanted to get in there, start setting up credit for people, getting people in debt so that, you know, they can control whatever these people do ultimately. But the soft resolution was that, you know, the guy who ran the bank, he dies at the end. Sorry, if you
totally
seen
ruined the movie.
Yeah, not really. I mean, it's they basically show it in the preview.
Right.
But the thing is, you know, there are 100 more banks like that with 100 other guys who are going to take his place. So it wasn't really over.
Right.
But I will say, whoever did this movie, and I want to say it was the same guy who did. Let me look this up before I say something wrong. Whoever directed this movie or was the set designer or whatever has obviously a big appreciation for architecture because there was some stunning architecture. Well, there was a big gunfight that happens at the Guggenheim Museum, which was kind of fun. Uh-huh. You know, ridiculous, but still kind of fun. But the coolest part was in one of the characters is an Italian guy who owns a defense contractor. And at one point in the movie, they go to his headquarters, which is at the base of a massive cliff on either the shoreline or an island off of Italy. And that building that was their headquarters was seriously just stunning. So cool. And let's see if this is the guy who, yeah, same guy directed this that directed Run Lola Run, who is who I thought it was.
Who also directed another one of my favorite movies, Princess and the Warrior.
Who was in that?
Same girl from Run Lola Run. What's her name?
Oh, really?
Franca Potenta.
Yeah, Franca Potenta. I like her.
Princess and the Warrior. Check it out.
I like her.
It's excellent.
She's a good... you mean Der Krieger und die Kaiserin?
Exactly.
Right. thank God for IMDb. But yeah, I'll have to check that out because I really do like her. That was what made me hate Bourne Supremacy.
Uh-huh.
Wait, which one was second? Ultimatum?
Supremacy. Ultimatum was the last one.
You sure?
Well, Ultimate.
No, I think you're wrong. I think Ultimatum was second. Okay. Are we going to look this up?
We have internets.
Okay. Bourne. Ultimatum. No, you're right. Ultimatum was last.
Oh, really? Okay. I'm what?
Whatever.
You are what?
You are correct, sir. So anyway, in Bourne Supremacy, that was one of the things that made me hate that movie was that it, you know, that she died. Her character died in it.
Never saw that. Never saw that. No, I don't have to.
Yeah. Did you see the last one?
I only saw the first one.
Yeah, the first one was a fantastic movie. The other two were, the second one I thought was horrible. The third one was okay, but the first one was great. So anyway, so The International was just okay. But then the other thing that we saw was, we saw Eagle Eye with-
It's crap, isn't it?
Shia LaBeouf. It was a lot of fun.
Come on.
It was a lot of fun, I'm telling you. It was actually turned out to be completely different than where I thought it was going.
Right.
In terms of, you know, who the antagonist was. But it was actually fun. I mean, again, it was a ridiculous, you know, there was a lot of ridiculous stuff in it.
Right.
But it was a much more, from start to finish, exciting movie than The International. That's for sure. The International was pretty slow in some places. In fact, most of it was pretty slow. But yeah, we didn't expect to enjoy it, and we actually did.
Yeah,
so that was kind of cool. And then I read something about, I was reading in SFX magazine, which is a British sci-fi magazine, about a movie called Forever War that's coming out. That's based on a book, and I don't have the author's name, although I could probably look it up. But and Ridley Scott, I guess, had been interested in it about 20 years ago and then, you know, was obviously busy doing other things. But when he got back in touch with the author recently to tell him he was interested in it again and wants to make it now, he said that he wants to make it bigger than Blade Runner or Alien. Like, he thinks it has the potential to be much bigger than either of those films.
Right.
And that's kind of a big deal to say that, coming from the guy who directed both of those movies,
right,
both of which are classic films. So I'm really kind of excited about that, to see.
Now it's already made and it's coming out?
No, it's not made yet. It hasn't even started production. But he's you know.
So it may never even happen.
It may never happen. But it's scheduled to come out, I think, in 2011. So it's scheduled for 2 years from now. I think he has two other projects, you know, Ridley Scott, that he's working on in between now and then. But you know, that's something I think to keep an eye on.
Another thing that's coming out soon, actually in a week and a half, is Watchmen.
Yes, which, March 6th, correct?
Which we're very excited about. And we're actually going to go view this together.
That way
we can...
Last time we saw a movie together was what, Wanted?
Yeah, it was either Wanted or
Wall-E.
Indiana Jones debacle.
Or Wall-E.
No, actually Wall-E I saw alone.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Oh. Well, I felt like you were right there with me.
Or that Indiana Jones poop.
That was a mess. That was so sad. Do you remember when we went to see the first Star Wars prequel together? And we were both sitting in the theater just waiting for it to get great, and it never did.
Never.
Remember how disappointed we were when we walked out of there?
Yeah. You know what was funny about that was at the very beginning, as soon as like the 20th Century Fox logo came on, you just had this, there was this feeling.
It was
like,
magical.
It really was.
It was magical.
And then it just went, it was a steady ride all the way down. So we'll see The Watchmen together, and
then we'll talk all about it, and hopefully
we'll do a little special segment on that.
Hopefully it won't suck. Now, supposedly there's some nudity and some...
Well, there's some nudity in the book.
And some sex. Yeah, and I was reading something where somebody was talking about how sci-fi should have, you know, more love in it, basically, and that nobody's ever done anything like that before. And I have to disagree, because I think that aspect of the first Terminator movie was one of the things that made that film great, because I thought
it is essentially a love story.
And I think that the way that it was done, the way that James Cameron did that stuff between, you know, Sarah and Kyle, I thought was very, not only very tasteful, but I thought it was very passionate. I mean, that was a good love scene. Uh-huh. You know what I mean? And the fact that it just happened to be in a sci-fi movie, I don't think takes away from it at all. I think it made the whole movie better for it, because you really believed their connection, you know,
right?
And that was part of the reason. So, so whoever wrote that obviously had forgotten about Terminator.
Yeah.
And I was trying to think of another love scene that I could point to in any other sci-fi, but there really is nothing. I mean, I could, because personally, I know that The Matrix is ultimately a love story too, but I thought that part of the movie was ridiculous.
No. Yeah.
It's like all of a sudden at the end, you know.
I refuse to acknowledge the second and third movie.
Yeah, the third one wasn't as bad as the second. It was still, I mean, it's just like they both suffer from the curse of the sequels.
Right.
But, you know, because the first was so classic and so great. The other two really did not need to be made.
No, not at all.
Because the way that the first
one. But, I mean, that's what's great about it. That's the one saving grace, is that the first one stands alone. Well,
it didn't need the other two,
right? So, you know,
but it makes it that much more sad that the other two were then made the way that they were, because they didn't need to be made. I mean, as far as we know, he could have ended The Matrix after the first one.
He should have. They should have.
He should have. Yeah. Unfortunately, that didn't happen. So, you got anything else for movies?
No.
All right, cool. We will take a quick break, and then we'll be back to talk about everything else and wrap up with our best and worst entertainment moments of the week.
Yeah, be sure to listen
for
that.
Be sure to listen for that. All right, whatever. All right, be back in a minute. Okay, we are back, and you don't even want to know what happened during that break.
I want to know. Tell
me. Let's just say it wasn't pretty. Do you really want me to tell you?
No.
I don't think anyone cares.
It's long and boring.
It is long and boring. So let's start off with this week's iTunes and iPhone rant, which
I have a very recent one.
I believe you have some very fresh pain to add to this segment.
I find sometimes on my iPhone, it'll show me that the battery life is full. Well, it'll say it's full, and then all of a sudden it'll be full for a long time. Like, I know it's not full.
Right.
Then all of a sudden it'll die. It'll
that just happened, right?
You were
just
from full to zero.
Right. You were just using it, and all of a sudden the phone shut off.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't like that. You know what I have had happen a couple of times, and I don't know. Well, first of all, remember one time we were talking about how every once in a while your iPhone will just start, every time you turn it on, it just starts playing music, and it's some song you haven't listened to in forever?
Yeah.
Okay, it did that to me again, and I think that has to do with the fact that for the eighth time now in 7.5 months, my iTunes library has been corrupted. Uh-huh. It's always right after that happens that I notice that behavior. But then there's this other weird thing that's happened where I plug in my phone to, you know, I plug in like a just a regular cable so that I can pump it through my car stereo.
Uh-huh.
And it'll play like the first minute of the song and just shut off. Not the iPod, but it'll just stop playing. And the only thing that fixes that problem, because then if you start playing it again, it'll do the same thing. It'll play for a minute and then shut off. The only thing that I found that'll fix it is you have to pull the cable out and put it back in. What the hell?
They're so quirky.
It is quirky. I mean, they've built in a lot of cool stuff. Like, it is pretty cool that, like, if you have it plugged in like that and you're playing music, if you pull the cable out,
it stops
playing.
Music, yeah.
You know, so there's some cool stuff in there. But it's not, once again, another thing that should not be called genius.
Right.
But anyway. So that's it for that. My father and I, as we always do, went to the Chicago Auto Show on Saturday. And it was kind of interesting. You know, the car market is in pretty bad shape right now, and especially the American car companies are hurting, you know, in a very bad way. And what was funny about the car show this year was it was a little bit sad in terms of usually the displays that the car companies put out are pretty extravagant.
Uh-huh.
Like Jeep for a long time has had this thing where they have like a fake mountain and all these like giant fake rocks and everything, and you get to wait in line for an hour to sit in a Jeep and go up a hill, basically, which I don't know why anyone would do that unless they had little kids. But a lot of times I see like, you know, couples waiting in line for an hour or 3 hours ride a Jeep over a hill.
Yeah.
Inside. Oh, but
is
whatever.
It like looking over Makeout Point? Maybe that's why.
No, it's not. It's like going over a little hill in a Jeep. But this year they didn't have any of the fake rocks or anything. It was just like the metal track and the hill. You know, and you could see like all the girders and everything. So they had obviously cut back. But and like Honda's booth was so sad. It was, you know, usually they have some really cool displays and a cool booth and a fancy this and a fancy that. This time it was like a counter where you could pick up brochures. And I think there was like a wall with a TV in it showing some video and then just cars sitting on carpet.
Wow.
I mean, it was really sad. But GM, which is, you know, in dire straits these days, still had a big extravagant booth.
Were they the ones that were going to buy the corporate jet?
I don't know. But they had almost a third of the show floor space just for GM.
Wow.
And they still had like lots of crazy displays and everything.
They put it all in.
They did put it all in. And they're not getting anything back out, which is bad. They had Bumblebee, you know, from the Transformers. They had the big giant robot there that, you know, that the one that transforms into the Camaro.
Now, was it as the Camaro or as?
It was as the robot. So it was like, you know, 30 feet tall. It was pretty cool. It was pretty cool.
Uh-huh.
I wondered when I watched that movie, when they designed those, how much of the actual car pieces were realistically incorporated into the transforming design.
Right.
You know what I mean? I wonder how much of that they do or if they just do it so that it kind of looks like, yeah, that could be all the pieces of that car.
That's very interesting.
Because it happens so fast.
When you build a 3D model, though, like in 3D modeling software,
yeah,
you could build it and then just like...
Well, you can...
Build it as a car and then just...
Right.
It would be pretty easy to manipulate.
It would be easy to manipulate, but it wouldn't be easy to make it look cool. and have it be realistic. I mean, that's
right.
You know, that's a pretty creative thing that those guys are doing. But you know, when you animate it, you can make it ignore the other surfaces. So, for instance, if the only way that it could really, I mean, let's just assume that all the parts of the car are actually in the robot model, right? So you could make it ignore the engine and have, like, when it's unfolding, have a piece, like, pass through another piece, because it happens so fast that you'd probably never notice it. So that's what I'm wondering is how much of that do they actually, are they strict about, and how much of it are they just like, well, nobody's going to notice, so just do it?
I'm sure a lot of nobody's going to notice.
I would think so, because otherwise I think it'd be pretty tough to do it.
That's but why they put Megan Fox standing next to one of them, because no one's really even noticing.
Right, no one's a robot? What? but then you go to the, you know, like Target or something, and you'll see a Transformers toy, and you know, you press a button and the thing unfolds from a truck into a robot, and you're like, wow, that's really cool, and that actually did do it.
Right.
So, I don't know. Maybe they did pay more
only
attention
Target.
To that. Or Toys R Us, for as long as they're still in business. Sorry. Do you not like Target?
No, I just thought it was odd that you just picked Target.
Well, that's where I do most of my toy shopping these days. You know, because I'm there for other stuff. You know, picking up the old Archer Farms chips.
Yeah.
You know, some baggies. A ladle missing from our kitchen utensils.
Okay, get on with the auto show.
Okay, so the anything auto else? Show. You know, the one thing that, you know, because it's always fun to see the concept cars. One of the ones that was really cool this year was one by Saab, and of course I completely forgot the name of it, but it was the only concept car they had, and you know, bad timing for them because GM owns them right now, and they're probably gonna, what it looks like is gonna happen is they're gonna go bankrupt, and then the Swedish government might help them get set up again as just a Swedish company,
right,
purely. But their concept car was so cool. The lines of it were so clean, and it was so classy and kind of futuristic looking, but still looked like it could be made into a car. I mean, there was some stuff about
those
it.
Those ever
would have
get
to change.
Made into cars?
Yeah, a lot of times they do. You know, Chrysler in particular has a pretty decent history at this point of taking their concept cars and making them into production cars. The PT Cruiser was a concept. PT Cruiser.
That should have died.
PT Cruiser. And the Viper was a concept. The Prowler was a concept, and they you know, they made all those. So, but I mean, some of them that you see are just so obviously ridiculous and will never get made. And then some of them, you know, Mercedes had some concepts that were, you know, I don't know if they were fuel cell or just, you know, hybrid or electric or whatever, but those things might get made into something real. GM actually had a pretty cool concept for Cadillac called the Converge, which sort of has the same look as their current, you know, stable cars that have that angular, almost stealth jet type look to them. You know, it had that kind of look too, but it was a pretty neat car. But yeah, it was just kind of a sad auto show this year. I was a little bit disappointed, and it wasn't that crowded either. I was kind of surprised for the last Saturday of the show. I was surprised that it wasn't more crowded than it
was. Yeah, me too. Well, not really.
Why not?
Well, I mean, people don't have the money to even like dream about those things anymore.
That makes no sense. You don't need money to dream. That's what your dreams are for.
I know, but
for things you
really
don't
want
have
your
money
dream
for.
Just waving in front, like, hi.
Yeah.
You can't have me.
Because if it wasn't, then it would be your car, not your dream.
All right.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But see, you're not a car guy.
I'm not. But I was really good at feigning interest through the whole segment, wasn't I?
Well, good is relative. It's sort of a spectrum of possibilities, really. So I was a little disappointed with the whole auto show. Plus, you know, I always have this gripe, and that's that not much gets shown at Chicago that isn't shown elsewhere. Because, you know, there are a number of auto shows. There's Detroit, and there are a bunch overseas. In fact, Geneva is coming up this, you know, in the next week. And it almost seems like most of the manufacturers save their best stuff for other shows. I think that there was one thing at this show that
the biggest one in the United States? Is it Detroit?
I would say probably Detroit, yeah. I think so. You know, it's just kind of like, it's almost like second rate as far as the auto shows go.
Right.
And there are some, you know, there's some manufacturers that obviously we don't even have here either because they don't sell cars in the US, which it would still be nice to see them. I mean, it makes no sense for them to do it, but
that's
who cares?
Just waving dreams again.
You're into this right now. I think you're in a very downward spiral.
Wow, you're giving, that's a pretty big
well, you're giving
diagnosis.
You're telling people to give up on their dreams if they can't afford them.
No, it's okay to dream. Just don't wave the dreams in front of your face.
Why?
I don't even know what that means.
I don't either. Yeah, and I was hoping that both Fiat and Alfa Romeo would have been there since they're going to start selling cars here next year, but no such luck. So that was a little disappointing. And then at the Audi booth, they had the R8 in red, which is just a stupid color. I don't think any cars other than Ferraris.
I have a red car.
Well, whatever. I don't think any cars other
every
than...
Every week you make fun of red cars. Every week I remind you I have a red car.
I don't think any cars other than Ferraris should be sold in red. And I don't think
Honda Civics.
And I don't think Ferraris should be sold in any color other than red.
And Honda Civics.
I would not include that. But the R8 looks much better in silver.
Yeah.
You have any idea what that car looks like?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Okay. Let's move on.
I have a Facebook rant. I have something very embarrassing happened to me on Facebook the other day.
Really?
I went on and it said that my friend Sarah was taking a poll and it says, Tony Incopero, oh, I just gave my whole name there, is, oh, I guess it says it on iTunes anyway.
Yeah, I wouldn't worry about it.
Anyway, Tony is ugly, yes or no?
Oh, my God.
And it went to all of my friends. I see that some of my friends, like answered yes or no. Like, they commented on it. And I'm like, what is this?
Okay, first of all, I didn't see that. And second of all, did anyone answer no?
Yes.
I mean, did anyone answer yes is what I meant.
Yes.
Really?
As a joke.
Oh.
He put a little funny joke underneath it. But I caught it shortly after it happened.
You look like crap.
I caught it shortly after it happened. So, first of all, I mean, it's just out of character for my friend Sarah to do that. So I'm like, that's really weird. Well, it turns out it's one of these new, you know how they have all these stupid little applications like.
Yeah. And like everything you know, that's on Facebook. Yeah.
Right. This one is called Friend Magic 8-Ball. And what it does is it takes one of your friends at random and takes one like thing of at random.
Like a question at random.
Right. And then it puts it up to all that person's friends.
Yeah, that's
so
not cool.
It said, see what people said. So in order to see what people said, I had to...
You had to install the application.
Install the application, which I did. So then before I could see what it was, it says, would you like to answer... Like I had to answer two questions or something.
Right.
So the first one that went up is a friend of mine who I haven't seen or talked to in 10 years. It's one of my friends on Facebook. And it said her name. I won't say her name. It said her name has bad hygiene.
Yes or no?
Yes or no. And... I freaked. So I put no.
Well, wait a minute.
But then it was posted.
Right.
So I had to send a letter to this friend saying, I have no idea what just happened here. Oh, my God. So I see that a lot of my other friends are doing these. And they're
there
have been
disaster.
Like three different ones about me. And some of them are dumb. Like one of them is like.
Some of them?
Well,
they're
one of them
dumb.
Was like, you know, Tony is likely to speed on the highway.
Ooh, that's hilarious. That's hilarious. I'm going to say yes and get you. I mean, that's
so dumb.
You know, I have to say, Facebook...
It's out of control.
It's a lot cleaner than MySpace,
uh-huh.
But it's a complete disaster as far as that stuff goes. Not only that, but have you noticed how the vast majority of the advertisements that you see on the sidebar of Facebook are things that you would gladly pay $30 a year to install... To protect you against.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's such garbage. It's all these things for, you know, like home loans and, you know, IQ quizzes. Government grants and IQ quizzes that you know you're, you know, or do you want a free Nikon D300? Well, just, you know, all you have to do is agree to participate in some of these offers from our partners. And, you know, there's like three level of offers. And the first one is like, would you like 100 free smileys? And you're like, oh, yeah, I'll do that to get a free camera. And the second one is, you know, would you buy a poster for $10 from this place? It's like, well, yeah, $2,000 camera. Sure, I'll do that. So now you've done that. And then there's like one more like that. And then you get to the last one. Would you like to buy a timeshare in Mexico? And it's like you have to do that in order to get the camera. So
so when are you going to your timeshare in Mexico?
Well, I haven't scheduled a vacation yet. But I mean, it's such garbage. And those applications are horrible.
Terrible.
They're horrible because they always hide the little thing that says skip this. You know, they hide it under a bunch of other stuff so that you end up inviting a bunch of people who a lot of times you barely know because you clicked on the wrong thing.
Well, that's the thing. Like it of all the friends. Well, I mean, I have a few friends who, you know, we've come in contact on Facebook, but we really haven't like caught up or anything. And then, you know, like I would put something on, you know. Facebook about someone I haven't seen about having bad hygiene.
Right. Well, I mean, if it was really bad, you might say something.
Yeah. Well, because you know how I feel about Pigpen.
Yeah. All the dust. But I hate those things. I really hate those things. And I hate it when I see that somebody's poked me.
Stupid.
It is stupid. What are some of the other ones?
But I would
there?
Like people to go onto Facebook and look for our Facebook fan page.
Yes, we use this opportunity to plug the Facebook fan page again. Yes, just do a search for pause.com. You'll find it. And also, please do subscribe to the podcast on iTunes. And, you know, listen at your leisure. You don't have to listen to them all right now. You know, that's a lot to take in. But, the Facebook thing is very annoying. What I hate is, like I said, how they hide all the little things to get out of it. And a lot of times you think you're clicking on something that's part of the application that you're using, and then it ends up being a link to some other website that you didn't want to go to, you know, because right. They make it all look the same. So that's kind of annoying. All right. I don't have anything else for there. So if you want to start talking about your best and worst entertainment moments of the week.
Yes, let's.
Don't stop listening now. It's just getting going.
Be sure to listen right here. Okay, my worst entertainment moment of the week. It is the musical number in the Oscars. The one with Beyonce.
Yeah.
It's terrible.
Would you care to elaborate? I was making.
It was really stinky bad. But what they did a salute to musicals, so they would, you know, sing snippets of songs from famous musicals. But I don't think that High School Musical really should be, you know, paired
qualifies
right next
as
to
famous.
West Side Story.
What? They're pretty much on par, don't you think?
And then ending with the big resounding Mamma Mia. Oh,
yeah.
It was bad.
I must have been making, you know.
Even despite the Beyonce
pigs and blankets during that time.
It was bad.
Yeah. I don't know. I didn't see it.
That's all I have to say.
That's fine. My worst.
You're just coming up with it now?
I am trying to think of something.
Pull it out.
My worst entertainment moment of the week.
Now what would that be?
That would be. Actually, I'll tell you what my worst entertainment moment of the week is. It was me having to leave for half an hour in the middle of recording this podcast for something that came up, a technical issue that came up.
Well, now you have to elaborate.
Well, no, I just. You know, I have this internet business and run a bunch of servers, and we had to do some emergency maintenance on one of them and had to leave in the middle of recording the podcast, which is very entertaining, the podcast, that is. However.
So that's the entertainment part of the?
Yeah, that's the entertainment part of the worst moment. And the worst moment part was actually having to leave to go fix it because luckily it wasn't that far away. I just go over there and take care of it and come back. But still, it was annoying to have to deal with that.
Well, luckily it happened an hour ago, because if it happened an hour from now, it wouldn't have made the list.
Well, that's true. And it saved me, basically.
Right.
So see? Silver lining.
There you go.
All right, your best entertainment moment?
You had touched on it earlier, and that's why I didn't elaborate on it. It was the moment in the Oscars where they brought out five previous winners to give away the acting awards. That was great.
What was great
about it, first of all, was you really felt that the nominees had no idea who was coming out.
Yeah, right.
I mean, I think it was a complete surprise. And I heard a little about it, that some of those stars that were the big surprises, they didn't even let them walk down the red carpet. They snuck them in.
Oh.
So people wouldn't know.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, like Robert De Niro. And,
yeah. That's
and
pretty cool.
Others. but I thought it was great. And what was really great was they kind of spoke to the nominee. Like
right.
One of the actors would speak to the nominee.
Yeah.
And it was great to see, like, for example, Anne Hathaway, was talked about by Shirley MacLaine.
Yeah, that was
cool.
Just
see how in awe she was that she like came to tears, and just it was so heartfelt. And what was funny about that was, you know, they spoke to the nominees and they were, you know, for the most part pretty heartfelt. But did you notice how cold Nicole Kidman was to Angelina Jolie?
Oh, come on. Nicole Kidman has one temperature, which is cold.
Well, exactly.
I mean, that's sort
but
of her defining
speaking
character
to Angelina
trait.
Jolie, who also doesn't go much above tepid. So like
no,
the, it
she
was,
really doesn't.
It
yeah.
was very icy. It was
I didn't
to the point
it.
Of being entertaining.
You know, I never really thought about that about Angelina Jolie. For all that people talk about her being so hot and so sexy and everything like that, I mean, she really almost never displays any kind of warmth in her characters, does she?
Not at all. Or in interviews or anything.
Well, in interviews, I can kind of understand that because I think she's been beaten up so much. And I'm not defending her because
right.
it's mostly because of, you know, actions of her own choosing.
Right.
But she's been beaten up so much in the press that I think right now she's just very careful about everything she says. I mean, that's the impression I get.
Right.
But, I mean, I'm just trying to think offhand of a movie where she seemed like a warm person. and I can't think of anything.
No, I didn't see Changeling.
I didn't
either.
That's
the one where her son is missing.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure there's...
That's what she was nominated for, right?
Yes.
I couldn't figure out what... I loved the thing with the five people, but I couldn't figure out...
I hope they continue to do that because it was just a great mix. You know, they didn't just pick five people from the last 10 years. They went from like many different decades and eras.
Now, do we want to question the decision to bring in Sophia Loren?
With her hand on her hip. In that ridiculous clown outfit.
I don't know what was going on there, but somebody screwed up.
That was bad.
That was probably the biggest pooch screw of that of that sequence. And for the longest time, I couldn't figure out why David Bowie was in the group with Goldie Hawn, but then I realized it was Tilda Swinton. but anyway.
You were waiting all podcasts to use that word.
No, I forgot about that, actually. I forgot about that. But no, that was so cool. And it's funny that you mentioned the Anne Hathaway one specifically, because that was the one that made me think of it the most. Because when she was talking to her, and then she said the thing about, you know, and I didn't realize you could sing really well, too. You got a great singing voice. I mean, they were very personal messages. Yeah. And obviously, they were scripted. But I did think that it was...
They may have had a little to do with it, though.
It was a very respectful thing. You know, and it was cool that they were mixing the old guard with the new guard, like Shirley MacLaine and Anne Hathaway.
For example, you could tell when Robert De Niro was talking to Sean Penn, you could tell that they were friends. You could tell that I don't think that was completely scripted. I don't think so either.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of himself into that.
Which is remarkable in and of itself. Because if you've seen him in a lot of interviews, there doesn't seem to be much going on there. Which is pretty fascinating, don't you think?
Yeah, you know what? One more thing I want to touch on that I forgot about. What did you think? I hope you saw the sequence with, who was the girl? Anyway, it was Ben Stiller, and he was doing a mock of the Walking
Phoenix. I was going to say he was actually funny, finally.
For the first time in ages.
Yeah. Well, that was the joke that I made, you know, while it was on to the people that I was watching it with, is because he said, I think I'm going to retire from comedy. I'm like... Well, I think you actually have to do some comedy before you retire from it. So maybe you should work on the order of things next time. But who was the girl that he was with? I can't even remember.
Was it Anne Hathaway?
Was it? I don't remember. Wait, did she present something?
I don't remember.
Now you're just confusing me.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter who it was. It was still pretty funny. And yes, he was there were I don't
Natalie
think
Natalie Portman.
Natalie Portman.
That's who it was.
God, those robots are so lifelike these days. She's another one. There's not a lot of warmth that comes out of her.
I don't think so. I think there is. I think there is.
Name a movie.
At the moment. But in interviews and stuff, she's very warm. She's
That's true. In interviews, she seems more like a kid her age. But in movies, she's usually very stoic and cold.
Yeah.
Did you see V for Vendetta?
No. You told me not to.
Oh, I'm so glad you listened to me. For your sake. All right. For my best entertainment moment of the week, I'm going to go with the fact that Tatiana did not make the final 12 in American Idol.
Of all that happened this week, that's your best.
Yes. My best moment of the week is somebody else's misfortune. What does that say about me?
I think that pretty much says it all.
Didn't
you think it was funny, though, that while... who was the last person they picked? Danny Gokey?
Yeah.
While he's singing, they're focusing on her in the background
crying. Yeah. I thought that was hilarious, actually. But, you know, and I will say, because you were saying you didn't like the format of the show, you know, how they're doing it this time.
Right.
That is one thing about the format that is very cool, is that the winners get to sing again, instead of in all the previous seasons where it's like, hey, you got to go home because people didn't like you enough. Would you mind singing for us again one more time?
You mind showing us the reason people are sending you home?
Exactly. It's like it was so bad the first time that we don't ever want to hear them again, and now we got to listen to it again. So that's one part of that I think works a lot better.
But that was, I mean, I'm sure once they get into like the top 12, the loser will sing.
You think?
Yeah.
Oh, that's uncomfortable.
Don't you think they should have switched up also? I mean, it was so obvious that Danny Gokey was the best. Don't you think they should have...
It shouldn't have paired him with Tatiana.
Because you knew for sure. They should have made Michael Sarver the surprise.
Yeah.
Don't you agree?
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. And it was just weird, too, because it was like, okay, can you come up here? All right, go but sit back down. Can you come up here? Yeah, sorry, you're not making it. Can you three come up here? All right, now you four and you, ma'am, out of the audience, can you come stand up here? It's like, what are you doing? Just pick a thing and do it.
He's on a power trip.
Oh, Seacrest. You know, one day somebody's going to knock him down a peg.
Right.
And he's so funny on the Oscars, too, on the pre-show stuff, because half the time he asks absolutely ridiculous questions. And half the time he asks questions that are really funny, but since the other half of the time he's asking stuff that's so stupid, they don't get that he's being funny. Uh-huh. And then it's wasted. So he kind of needs to, I think, when he does stuff like that, just pick a direction.
Did you see, I want to say it was the Golden Globes, maybe. It was within the last few months, though. He was on the red carpet for something, and Angelina completely snubbed him. It's on YouTube.
No.
He's like, Angelina, Angelina. And she just keeps walking. He's like, he's trying to get her. And she just, like, completely snubs him.
Was it obvious that she could hear him and yes. was ignoring him?
Yes.
Why would she do that? Did he like say something bad about her or something?
Maybe she just didn't want to hear his nonsense.
I don't know. But that's it. I don't have anything else. Do you have anything else?
No.
I think that's it. So, well, Watchmen is not this coming week, right? It's
no, it's
a couple weeks.
We'll have one more episode before
that.
Our right, big cool. Watchmen episode.
So thanks again for tuning in, and we will see you next week. In the meantime, again, please, if you haven't subscribed, please do subscribe.
And leave a review.
And head on over to Facebook, look up pause.com, and friend us there, too.
Thank you.
We'll see you next week. Have a good week, everyone.
Bye-bye.